the show.
Well, hey everyone, and welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, back with you for another. I know a couple weeks back we had the podcast not on relationships. This one is on relationships because, you know, as soon as we stop talking about relationships, everyone says, how come you're not talking about relationships? So here we are. This week's inbox, we have the wonderful Danny Huerta back in with me to talk about a father's role in a courtship relationship. We have a guy who wrote in and just wants to know, feels like his girlfriend's father is maybe a little bit too involved. So Danny weighs in on that. Then for our culture segment, we are joined by Paul Tripp. I was able to meet up with him at a conference I was at not too long ago. And Paul is an expert on marriage. He's a pastor, an author, a hugely popular author, as well as a blogger and tweeter and all kinds of other stuff. So he has lots of great things to say about marriage and specifically some of the roles within marriage and some of the expectations within marriage and what does it look like within a biblical framework and worldview. Some of the things that disappoint us, some of the things that should, shouldn't, and what we do about it. But for our roundtable today, we're very excited because it's the result of another meeting and another conversation, this time with another pair, another couple that are honeymooners, Michael and Leah Pratt. They visited us here at Focus on the Family, decided to stop by Boundless. And so, of course, we put them on a mic and said, tell us your story. And so they did and really have some great insights born out of their own getting to marriage. Both of them were in their 30s when they got married. And so they have just really some fun tales to tell and what God's doing in their life now as they are kind of merging lives together and had to make, you know, a move of transitioning someone. And so it was really fun to see them and have them visit our studios. So here is our conversation with them, followed by the rest of the show. Well, hey, everyone. Very excited for this culture segment because it involves two of you, two people who normally would just be out there in the Boundless sphere, but they decided to come and visit us here at Boundless, here at Focus on the Family. I want to welcome Michael and Leah Pratt. Welcome to both of you.
Hi. Thank you.
Woohoo. Pratt was Proctor,
yes.
Leah, and Leah, I know, now they are here, we're just going to put it out there, they are here on their honeymoon. They got married less than a week ago.
Saturday.
Yep.
Wow. And just, I have to say, cutest thing ever, matching shirts. They're wearing just married shirts. Did you guys get those as a gift?
We kind of did this for ourselves. Part of our wedding weekend, we planned a worship service Sunday morning after the wedding for our bridal party and for our family. And so we wanted to surprise them and be all cutesy and wear these the Sunday morning for worship. So
very cool. But I love how Leah's like dressed hers up. So
yes.
She's got a t-shirt with like
a little fashionable,
a little cardigan that's all bloomed out on it. That's, and Michael's just the standard shirt. That's okay. That's cool. You're just keeping it real.
Do.
That's right. That's very good. Very good. So the first thing we have to say is congratulations.
Thank you.
Obviously. Martha and I are here. We love seeing stories like this, right, Martha?
I had heard about these couples coming to visit Colorado on their honeymoon and stopping by Boundless, and to see the real thing is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to just say you were a little disbelieving, I felt, when I told you.
Really? Colorado?
Like, yeah. People really come here for their honeymoons. Because we've seen some, you know, we have Boundless fans that come through on vacation or whatever. They come, you know, they know that they're in the area and stuff, and they're like, oh, we're going to come and check out the show or just see who, you know, visit Martha and Lisa and stuff. So it's always fun. But, you know, the real honeymooners, it's like the real deal. People really do read Boundless and actually do get married.
Yeah.
Miracle. So no, it's fantastic. But so we definitely want to hear a little bit of your story because we love keeping it real. And we have, you know, on the blog, we have our engagement stories section, which I think has been hugely encouraging to people from what we hear there, because it's another one of those things. If you feel like you're putting real names to faces and showing that Boundless really has had an impact on folks, as far as that plays out. So I want to talk to you guys a little bit about that. And I know, Leah, when you had emailed me, you have been in the Boundless sphere for quite a while. Tell us about that.
Yes, probably 98, 99. I was working in my local church at home in Savannah, Georgia, a few moves ago, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And I was just pulling blogs, pulling articles, a lot from Candace, a lot from other contributors that usually were about young women and issues dealing with them, and also relationships, dating, marriage, that kind of thing. And I was using it as teaching material for like high school, Sunday school, girls' Bible study, and things like that. So longtime reader, I guess. And then the podcast, I didn't even really know existed until about a year ago, maybe a little over a year ago. And so I was catching up on back, you know, I guess, broadcasts. Mm-hmm. So really just have enjoyed it. I know probably found the podcast around the time that Michael and I started seeing each other and getting to know one another. And it was just a huge encouragement to me to hear kind of the real life stories, but also just the tips and just the reframing of the mindset about, you know, being intentional with every move that you make when it comes to dating. Also just the bits that y'all had done recently on choosing attraction and just kind of the maturing of, you know, yourself, the older that you get, and kind of putting yourself aside and looking for a true partner in life and in ministry. So
yeah, very true. So question in light of that, when you were, because you really, I mean, 98, 99, that's when Boundless started. So you were kind of with us from the beginning. Were you kind of at that point, was it something that was totally new to you? Was what you were reading, was it like, I haven't heard this before? And were you even in a mindset to say, I mean, where were you as far as marriage? Were you like, yeah, I'm totally going to get married, whatever? Or were you like, this is never going to happen to me, but I might as well just read about it, you know?
Well, I know for me, I mean, that was probably the end of teenage years and into the 20s, and just kind of finding out what being single as a young adult meant, and, you know, longing for relationships, but really, you know, God kind of not allowing those things to happen and to mature into anything. And so kind of out of, you know, that teenage girl crises, time of despair about, you know, boys, just kind of turned into me sharing with younger girls my commitments about purity, and just not just physical, but emotional, and, you know, just setting up some guidelines for what life should look like looking toward marriage. And I think over the years, I just kind of ended up thinking, well, I may be single forever. And that's, you know, I had gotten really content in that. And, you know, just really enjoyed pouring into the lives of younger girls, and kind of went from being, you know, the beginning of reading Boundless, thinking, well, maybe, you know, I'll use this in my dating life and just in courtship in general, and how it should look, along with just a lot of other authors I was reading at the time, really shaped that. And it wasn't necessarily brand new, but there were a lot of things that just kept spurring on conversation topics between me and some of my girlfriends at the time. And yeah, and so on into now, it's just, yeah, just been a huge encouragement.
Yeah. Now, Michael, did you have a philosophy of dating, or kind of where were you, you know, whether 10 years ago, back when Leah started reading Boundless, or just...
It's kind of funny, because 10 years ago, I had actually just come out of a bad relationship and just needed time to heal, and decided I was pretty much done with it. I got real career focused. I'm an elementary school teacher and a youth minister at the time, and was just like, well, this is it. And in that process, as I'm working with kids and seeing young people, I'm realizing that at this time, Christian young people don't really date or see each other any differently than secular young people, that the habits, the patterns are the exact same in their dating relationships as they are in the rest of the world. And it was just kind of a bother and a burden to me. And I was like, well, if I get back into this, that's not what I want. I want something better. I want something more godly than this. I want to be able to leave a relationship as friends and as colleagues and as, you know, that sort of way. And I was really challenged with Ephesians chapter 5 and my call as a man to really present her to Christ, pure, holy, and blameless, spotless, without any blemish. And it's like, wow, that's a big challenge for me. And to do that means I got to step it up. And so that was where my convictions had come through, and was watching how young people just weren't doing it, and how God was impressing on me that maybe I needed to set that example so that young people could see that, and that I needed to live that myself. And so I went about 10 years without seeing anybody. Then we try. I tried. A buddy of mine got married using an online service, and I thought, well, okay, worked for him. I'm really getting a little tired of being alone. It's just me and the dog, and the dog's 21. He's not going to make it much longer. So
bless his heart.
So I tried it. Had some of the weird ups and some of the weird downs that I'm sure you've heard people talk about. I did meet someone prior to Leah through that. She had very similar convictions about relationships that I did. A few months into it, we just kind of looked at each other one night and said, this isn't moving towards marriage. So it's time to move on. You've been a good friend. I appreciate it. Your family's great. And so we departed amicably. And then I was, shortly thereafter, I thought, well, let's go a second chance. You know, kind of worked the first time. Let's try again. And then that's when I met Leah.
Yeah, and that was really kind of on a lark for me. I mean, I had, at the seminary, I had been taking a theology of marriage class with Dr. Moeller, and there was a, you know, were several books that we had read that kind of advocated just putting yourself out there as a woman, you know, not pursuing men toward anything really other than friendship, but, you know, using online methods if you feel like that's, you know, what the Lord is showing you. And I kind of out of spite just made like a free online profile on one of those sites and put it out there.
And it was a great premise for starting.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of begrudgingly, you know, I was aggravated at the book that I had read that, you know, was really endorsed by a lot of people I trusted and was like, why are they even saying this is okay? Mm-hmm. Because I just didn't think so at the time. And so put that out there, got back, you know, a lot of just the seminary guys in town and just was kind of icked out by the whole process. And so shut it down, and maybe, you know, 2.5 maybe years later, opened it up just because
you said it was a free weekend.
And I need to figure out if I'm going to close this down or not. Mm-hmm. And Michael had you know, started up communication on there. So we, you know, I think it just really turned out of something that I was doing out of spite, but the Lord had a bigger plan for that. And, you know, kind of like Michael's just season of singleness and kind of finding what God's purpose for him was in finding a mate. I had never really dated a whole lot being it through my youth, I guess, and teenagerhood, if that's a word. And so I had just committed probably around 19, you know, not to be dating like the world would date. And so Boundless had helped a lot with just encouraging me with boundaries and friendships and alone times with guys and things like that. And we actually, when we started dating, just kind of committed to grow the relationship emotionally, spiritually, and not physically at all. We saved our first kiss for the altar.
We did.
On Saturday. So
very special.
Yeah. And you were, when you started communicating, how old were you each?
It's,
I guess, 30 and
34.
Yeah.
Okay. So 30s.
Yeah. So we've known each other
just over a year. Just a little over a year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And now, was this long distance? Were you in
it was. Okay. I was still in the Indianapolis area. She was in the Louisville area. So
good 2 hours.
Okay. And it was kind of tough, too, because I was serving as the interim pastor of a small little church there in central Indiana. And so, you know, we had to really coordinate a lot of things dating-wise and just meeting with people. And I remember I was teaching a men's Bible study on Sunday nights, and those guys were kind of my close guys, and they could really get on me. You know, they couldn't pick on me in the pulpit on Sunday morning, but they could Sunday evenings. And so actually the retired pastor of that church asked me, said, so when are you going to marry this girl? I said, what do you mean? Well, you're driving to Louisville every Saturday. When are you going to marry this girl? If you're driving to Louisville every Saturday, she's got to be worth it. And so that was his comment to me.
Love him.
Actually, we do very much. Yeah. And Rethel Miller is his name, and he is who performed our ceremony Saturday. He was kind of my dad in ministry, and so it was great to have him do that for us. So.
What was kind of the time frame of the time you got matched to first meeting to getting engaged, getting married?
Oh, my goodness. It's kind of a funny story because we met like face-to-face about mid-June.
Yeah. I mean, we had been talking for probably a month and a half, I would say.
Through email, telephone calls, all those sorts of things. Met face-to-face in mid-June. That was about the time I'd started the interim pastor position. And you were transferring stuff around in your work.
My job was changing a lot. And so then after that first kind of date day, we just
It went back to communication, phone calls and emails. Mm-hmm. I left for a mission trip within about 3 weeks of our first date. And then your job transferred. I wound up coming home with dysentery. So there was about another 3 weeks of me being sick that we couldn't get together. Yeah, you gotta. I can never get that strain again. Thank goodness.
Okay. But then, you know, him getting settled into the new school year and me and my new role at work, we just really didn't, you know, communicate face to face a lot again until probably
close to October.
Yeah, and then from then on, it was just, you know, kind of every other week turned into every week turned into, you know, as often as we could see each other. I went up to meet his family. He actually drove down to North Carolina when I was down for Christmas break. And it was kind of a surprise, I guess, because his car had been in the shop, but came down, saw my family. And then not too long after that, we were, you know, he was asking for my hand and we were getting engaged. And
wow. So that was how long that you actually dated before you got engaged?
I guess.
It's probably
seriously dating, probably 3 or 4 months?
Probably. I'd say we were probably talking marriage stuff about mid-February or so, right around.
Okay. Again, just with that intentionality. I mean, not, you know, entering into it lightly by any stretch. But.
Okay. Yeah. Now, was there anything as you started dating where you realized, I mean, were you just on the same page as far as your philosophy of dating, or did you have to have any big discussions about any big rocks? Or?
One of the things that I think we did, because we were both very intentional, and I was real upfront with her about everything. You know, I was looking for a woman who felt called to help serve in ministry. You know, I'm called to the ministry. That's where we know God's leading us one way or the other. And I was just real open, and I said, this is what I'm looking for. If that's not what you got, tell me now.
Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like, well, I'm in seminary and I feel called to ministry. So ding, ding.
Yeah. I mean, and so next question.
Hand raised.
So then it was, you know, next question. Then it was, okay, well, what do you, I mean, it was.
We were very upfront from the beginning about boundaries and our backgrounds and family upbringing and just pretty much laid it all out there. And,
and just didn't hold back on that because we knew that being intentional was just a better way of doing it than anything else.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Well, it is such a privilege to have you here. I know we just wanted to, you know, while you were dropping in, just to say hello and to say that we are so thrilled for you. And really, you know, we just try to keep a mindset, I think, of prayer for all the people out there in Boundless. I mean, the ones who, you know, this past summer, we did our Boundless Summer Challenge and just really get a chance to connect with people there and hear how God is using the different challenges to work in their lives. And I think it's so easy when you're in ministry to have it be an intangible and you don't really see the faces behind it. But I think with Boundless, we're really privileged to have a kind of a constituency that is motivated and very intentional and just loves being part of that community and love supporting one another. And so it's kind of, like I said on the front end of the show, a privilege for us to be able to see that in person in you guys. So we want to wish you just all the best as you start in your first year of marriage. Very excited. Now you can, you know, Focus on the Family exists now to help you navigate marriage and family. Right. And so we hope you'll stay within the fold, the Boundless fold, as well as Focus on the Family and all the great marriage resources we have and forums and many other things to come. So very, very
great
exciting.
To meet you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Great
Thank you.
To meet you guys. So again, congrats from us and from everyone out there. I know there's kind of a collective cheer going up. So
made it mine, made it small, I made it blind. I followed hard, only to find it wasn't love, it wasn't love. Love of songs and pen. Is love.
Well, hey everyone, I am here with this week's culture segment, and I am joined by Paul Tripp. Paul, welcome.
Good to be here.
Well, very fun to talk to you. I have just been spending my Friday night and Saturday morning here at Village 7 Presbyterian Church in Colorado Springs, my home church, at a marriage conference. So, in fact, I was just telling Paul that I was one of the people that did the all-church announcement for this, and I was like, what's more natural than a single girl telling people to come to a marriage conference? But you all know me out there that I talk about marriage a lot and relationships, and we do here on the Boundless Show. So, Paul is an author, a speaker, a pastor. Currently, well, he is founder and president of Paul Tripp Ministries. Many of you also may know you did a stint, and I think that just ended recently, in a pastoral position at 10th Pres in Philadelphia.
That's right.
After you kicked Phil Reichen out. who I just found out is only like 6 years older than I am. I find that kind of depressing because I'm like, shouldn't he be like, I just feel like he's older or something, but oh, I guess we just have to come to grips with these things during our lives. But, that's okay. Also the author of many books. Some of them include How People Change, A Quest for More, and the book What Did You Expect? Redeeming the Realities of Marriage, which was kind of the subject of this week's conference. And he actually spoke here last year, so I kind of have had a couple doses now of Paul Tripp, and just really love your style, Paul, and just community. Everyone on the show knows that I'm a tell it like it is kind of person. I like to get down to brass tacks and really realize what is all of our dysfunction sourced out of. Obviously, we know sin, but I think so often we try to just cover that up or try to manage our sin or try to, you know, do what we can with it and hopefully come across as quote unquote normal, whatever that is. But I'm going to talk marriage with you here for a couple minutes. And I know last year when you were here, you settled a lot on the theme, or you talked a lot about my wants, my needs, my feelings, and really how ultimately when you get into relationships, I think that's the kind of stuff that's going to come up pretty starkly. And what would you say, just talking relationships in general, how do we kind of come to that understanding? Because, you know, we're so told by our culture that, you know, you gotta watch out for yourself. You got to make sure you take care of yourself. There are all these crazy people out there that are going to bring you down. But then we have a biblical model of what it looks like to be self-sacrificing. How do we kind of reconcile the two?
One of the things that I think is going on is that you have single people who, if you look at their lives from the video, live pretty selfish lives. It's my desires, my schedule, my time. I have the freedom to do that because I'm not actually living with somebody, or if I'm living with somebody, we live in a distance from one another. And now you have this person who's met a person. They're not aware of the degree of their selfishness. They haven't decided to live in another way. And now they're in this comprehensive 27 relationship where you can't be selfish and make this work. People ask me all the time, who should come to a marriage weekend? I say high schoolers. Mm-hmm. All your single young people. Because one of the things that the weekend will do is begin to confront you with the degree of your own self-absorption, that you're not, A, committed to relationships. I mean, that's the first thing. You're just not committed to relationships. Mm-hmm. You're committed to your own pleasure, and if relationships help you, well, that's cool. But you're not committed to other people. You're not committed to relationships. And you're surely not committed to the kind of work ethic that relationships take. Relationships are hard work. Good relationships are good relationships because the people in those relationships are committed to making them good relationships.
Yeah. And I know you said, I think it was last night here at the conference, you talked about attraction and how really that's not the basis for a great relationship, because what you're really doing is saying, you know, ultimately I'm hoping that this person will be attracted enough to me that they will love me as much as I love me, and it ultimately drives back to self. But instead you talk about how, I liked your first point that you made even last night as you kicked this off, talking about unity in relationships and really successful relationships being about worship. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, you know that the word worship in Scripture is much more than that sort of formal gathering on Sunday. The message of the Bible is, by my hardwiring, by my very nature, I am a worshiper. That means that at the deepest level, I'm always giving myself to something. I'm connecting my identity and meaning and purpose to something. And so either I'm connecting my life to the physical things of the created world, or I'm connecting my life to the vertical reality of God, His existence, His glory, His purpose and plan. Now, a good human relationship is always based on my relationship with God. In other words, it's only the people who love God above all else who will ever love their neighbors or self. Because if God is not the center of my life, that center doesn't remain a vacuum. That center gets filled with me. And so in relationships, that means, in ways I may not understand it, I'm in the center of my world. And so what I'm shopping for is somebody who will meet my needs, somebody who will deliver my pleasure, somebody who will give me the comfort that I want, somebody who makes my world work. And when I meet that person, I'm powerfully attracted to that person. That's a buzz. I mean, it's a big buzz. But the problem is, it's not love. We have this perverse ability to block our sight from all the warts, failures, weaknesses of that person. We're not signing on for those. And so what I love about you is not actually you. It's not your brokenness. It's not your failure. It's not your whole history. It's not all the mess that we're surely going to experience when we're now living to one another. I love the fact that you will be able to sort of complete these things that I'm searching for. In fact, as you said, I love you because I think that you'll love me as much as I love me. Mm-hmm. That never works. Mm-hmm. Because at some point, I hit the wall realizing this person can't deliver these things to me. And they quit being attractive to me. In those moments, young couples say, well, the love is gone. No, it's not. It was never there in the first place. This wasn't love. This was attraction. And so, if I could back this back for you, mm-hmm. we need in bold, clear ways begin to define for teenagers what love is about. Mm-hmm. What does it look like to love another human being? And I love the old psychologist Alfred Adler used to talk about spitting in people's soup. Spit in the soup of all that other crap. Mm-hmm. It's just baloney. It's baloney. Mm-hmm. Because what we call love, what we call romance, is neither. And it's not unloving to say that to singles. It's loving to say that.
Mm-hmm. So how, when it comes down to practically then selecting a mate, I think we're hearing two things in the church, and this is like what drives singles nuts, because it's it's either a marriage is sanctifying, marriage is, you know, it's not this mystical experience, so you just need to pick someone who loves the Lord and then make it work. So that's what we hear on one side. And then the other thing, and the other side we hear is, no, just wait. When it will happen, it'll happen. You'll know God is going to orchestrate this. God's in the business of making great matches. I mean, I think there's truth on both sides, but they're both a little bit paralyzing, because you either don't want to just pick anyone and not have that be the person that God, quote unquote, has for you, even though I will tell you, we do not like the idea of the one boundless. We don't talk, we're always, you know, blazed away when people get into that, and like there's some soulmate. But at the same time, like you used your own example of meeting your wife in a cafeteria line, and you said, you know, it was love at first sight, which I know, you know, maybe not literally, but because you're choosing to love. But what's the balance between that for singles in understanding? Because there are women out there, I mean, you know, I was telling you a little bit of my story on the front end, who aren't married. I mean, there are women that I hear from every day who are like, this is all well and good, Lisa, but no one is picking me. I'm not picked. And there's a great sorrow and sadness and disappointment in that. So how in the world, I mean, how in the world are people even getting together these days?
Yeah, I think there are a myriad of answers to that question. We go in a lot of directions. It's one thing that I would say is, I think most healthy relationships, I think we could say all healthy relationships don't just happen. Whether that's a long-term relationship with a friend or a marriage, they're the result of the connection of people who take relationships seriously. So as a single, I'm committed to good, wise, healthy, Christ-centered, grace-motivated relationships with people. I want cross-gender relationships that are godly. And we do the hard work that are honest and humble and patient and gentle. I'm working on those things. I take that seriously. It's not just having fun together and hanging around with people who like what I like. It's I have an agenda. And so I'm connecting also then with people who likewise take those relationships seriously, who likewise have the same work ethic. Now, that may not mean that I'm going to, because of that, easily find a life mate, because there is some mystery in that. And I just think any of the conversations ought to remove mystery. I still do not understand the mystery of my marriage. I just don't. I mean, we were intentional, but I'd been intentional before that. So there's something there that I can't describe. But you're heading in the right direction if you're serious about relationship, if you're surrounding yourself with good, healthy, biblical community that's honest and humble and serving. You're in the right direction. And if you're doing that, you will begin to ferret out the people who aren't into that. Mm-hmm. And you will begin to attract the people who are equally as serious about that kind of relationship. Mm-hmm.
You said today, and I know, you know, primarily this was directed towards married folks, but you said you don't need to hope God will deliver what you need. He's already doing it. What do you think that means for young adults, especially singles?
I think this is very radical, and I think it's hard. And I want to say that I know this is hard. This is not just hard for a single. It's hard for people in marriage. It's hard for all of us living in a fallen world. If God is announcing that He knows my needs and He's covenantally committed to meet my needs, it seems the only theological option is to say He is now doing that. Now, it may mean that there'll be something that I need in the future that I don't need now, but I think this removes so much angst that the God who knows me best, who knows the world that I live in, who knows all the circumstances of my life, is now delivering all the essential things that I presently need. Now, that doesn't mean it's wrong to desire. It's not. It's not wrong to hope for a relationship if I don't have one. What it means is this: I don't bring God in the court of my judgment, and judging was unfaithful. And what's critical about that is if you are doing that, you may not be conscious that you are, you're somehow judging Him unfaithful because He hasn't met your needs. You don't run for help to someone who you're now doubting. And it has all kinds of negative results in your trust of God and your courage to live His way, because now you're doubting Him.
Hmm. Yeah. Looking at a relationship, say, for example, if someone is dating or engaged or moving into marriage, I know you talked today about, you know, one of the best hopes for change is when a couple both decides that they're going to be gospel-centric rather than focusing on self. And then you can kind of, I pictured myself saying, okay, what if two people sit down and they say, okay, our relationship isn't the best, I'm selfish, you're selfish, let's get on the same page and go forward. I mean, that would be amazing. What would you say as you counsel, because I neglected to introduce this on the front end, and that's that you've counseled hundreds, thousands maybe of couples and individuals. What if one spouse or one partner is super just passive in this pursuit, not on board?
Well, it depends whether you're in a marriage or not. Let's just say for single people, I know there's no perfect people out there. I know every relationship is a messy person with a messy person. People ask me to give them a biblical view of marriage.
I'm pretty perfect when I'm by myself.
Yeah, that's right. People ask me to give them a biblical view of marriage, and all I say, it's a flawed person married to a flawed person in a fallen world. Are you encouraged yet? But with a faithful God. So it's messy people in relationship with messy people. And as a single, what I want to ask myself is not the degree to which this person is perfect, but the degree to which this person is willing. Here's the two character qualities that I think are just essential. And if you don't have these, run, because this is not going to work. Mm-hmm. First is the humility of approachability. The person's got to be approachable. If we have shut doors, taboo topics, if in the face of my being honest with you, you take it personally and you defend yourself against me, if you have a very active inner lawyer, it's not going to work. The second character quality, and both people have to have both qualities, is the courage of loving honesty. If I'm with a person who has such a toxic relationship to any moment of tension between us, so they're always trimming the truth, and they're eating things that we need to talk about, and they don't speak honestly to me, well, where's this going to go? We're gonna fill up big closets of nastiness that we've never dealt with. And so I'm looking for a person who's approachable, and I'm looking for a person who has that courage of honesty. Because if we do that with a mutual commitment to God's presence and His truth, we can go places. I think of what a mess I was when I got married. Oh, it scares me. But in the midst of all of that, I mean, I don't mean this proudly, I had a willing heart. Mm-hmm. And Luella had a willing heart. I married a truth teller. Wasn't always comfortable for me. Mm-hmm. But that has been a tremendous help to us, because we've made such progress dealing with some of the mess that we brought into our marriage.
Yeah. So just in light of that, cast briefly a vision as you would see it as a husband, as a pastor, from all your frames of references. Cast a vision for young adults for marriage. Why should they aspire to it? Why should they look forward to it? I know you talked a little bit today about how it really does change you, and it is a means of change. It's a means of opening up a whole new world. What do young adults have to look forward to?
Well, on one hand, maybe there's no more powerful expression of my humanity than community with another person. Think about this for a moment. God doesn't do community. God is a community. The very nature of God is community. And so in His image, I'm made for community. And there's just pieces of my humanity that reach their fullest expression in community with other people. And, you know, that 24/7 comprehensive community of marriage is unlike any other community, in just rounding that out. I think another thing is that it's very hard to actually know yourself alone. That so much of personal insight, your knowledge of you, is developed in relationship with other people. And then clearly, one thing that happens in intimate community is I'm taking places that I would never go if I was making all the choices for me. And all of a sudden, I'm outside of my normal places of comfort. I'm places where I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel knowledgeable. I don't feel expert. And for a believer, where does that throw me? It throws me on God. In I think in very special ways, I've learned to trust God. I've learned things about His presence and His grace in my life because I'm married. Mm-hmm. And because it's just taken me places I never thought I would go. I mean, I can remember evenings where there's distance between Luella and me, and I think, I don't know how to heal this. I don't know how to make this better. I don't know what to do next. And I just be praying, God help me, God help me, God help me. That's actually a pretty good place to be. Mm-hmm. Because then you're actually experiencing the reality of His presence. Now, does that mean, I feel the need to say that marriage is the only place to get that? No. But the one thing nice about marriage is once you've made that commitment, it is an inescapable community. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I think that we do with singleness, I don't think it's right, is we make it way too escapable. Mm-hmm. So if it's not going well, I just check out. And I miss all of those things that I've not been talking about.
Yeah. Well, good thoughts. We've been talking to Paul Tripp. Like I said, I actually did the How People Change study, I think it was last year, with a group of messed up people. They were, not me, you know. I was just helping him. No, I'm just teasing.
Right.
Yeah. he was here last year for A Quest for More. This year we were talking about What Did You Expect? Redeeming the Realities of Marriage. Find out more about Paul at Paul Tripp, that's T-R-I-P-P, ministries.org. And yeah, if he's ever in your area, make sure that you go to one of his conferences. Make sure you check out the books. And thank you so much.
Thanks for the opportunity. I love what you're doing.
We were pressed on every side, full of fear and troubled thoughts. For good reason, we carried heavy hearts. It is good to come together in our friendship to remember. Is in our hearts. Alleluia, alleluia. Christ our joy and strength. Alleluia, alleluia. Christ our joy and strength.
Well, everyone, we are opening up this week's inbox, and I am in the studio with Danny Huerta. Danny, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me here again today.
Great to have you. It's always good to have you with us. So,
appreciate it, Lisa.
And we just have you address a variety of topics here on the Bahamas
Show.
Yeah, and
I appreciate you filling me in on the color purple, right, where it came from. That was very enlightening,
we were
Lisa.
Having a little discussion earlier about the origins, like why purple was so expensive back in the day and associated with royalties. So we won't get into that here. If you want to know, Google it and then write us your thoughts. Well, here we go. We're going to address a question, a real question, actually. This one's legit, from a guy. And so we need some perspective from you on this one, not only as a guy, but as a counselor, because Danny's one of our counselors here at Focus on the Family. So he may have to pull out his degree for this. Here we go. I have been pursuing a girl for a long time, but we are not yet in a relationship because we desire to honor her father, who's strict about carefully examining and mentoring would-be suitors before he would bless a courtship. I've been talking with him about courtship for 6 months and am now on the verge of his blessing, but just recently in discussions I've had with the girl about the impending change, we have arrived at an impasse. What we can't agree upon is her dad's role in the courtship we're considering. I'm fully okay with his complete involvement and authority over us, and I submit to his authority, but what she and he want, which I cannot now agree with, is for her dad to have absolute and primary leadership in our courtship. I feel like this strips me of my right endowed to all men as pursuers and initiators. I don't want to be along for the ride. I want to lead. Their approach makes me feel impotent in the relationship. Am I wrong? Is it okay for her dad to take both the authority and the leadership?
Wow. I do have to say, my question for this particular, actually for his girlfriend would be, her fiance, it sounds like, would be if she is married to her dad. I mean, this is really, I have a lot of concerns with this one. There's this question, I can understand how you would feel impotent and you put even neutered in the relationship. And strong words, but certainly make perfect sense. For a dad to be involved as much as there's potential involvement here does not make sense. There needs to be some very clear boundaries, limits with this father. It almost causes me to say most likely that's why she's single to this point. For him to be this involved and would want a mentor and examine would-be suitors, I really feel bad for this person that's written this question. That is a lot to go through for a girl. I mean, it reminds me, takes me back to the time of Joseph when he had to be in prison for, you know, the 14 years to get a girl, to wait for the woman. I mean, this is really a big deal.
I mean, because we here at Boundless are all about, you know, older, more mature believers speaking into a relationship and even having the parents involved and getting a parent's blessing is a great thing. And having, you know, that transition of authority is fine. But it sounds, my concern here is it sounds like there's no opportunity for that transition to happen. It sounds like the dad just wants complete authority over them, and then all of a sudden they're supposed to be married. Well, how is that relationship going to change then? It just seems like there's not any opportunity for this guy to step up and eventually take over that role, that the dad is just really, you know, doing the whole thing himself. And even the whole, you know, this pre-relationship situation of 6 months so that he can vet people and stuff like that. I mean, I'm all about examining someone's character and making sure he's great for your daughter and stuff. But yeah, it does seem a little bit like a control issue.
Well, Lisa, we touched on the part of this potentially being an unhealthy and dysfunctional relationship. We can also see, on the other hand, that maybe the dad is a very protective man and wants to have a lot of control in the relationship. And this is just simply a dating relationship where maybe this is the case in which you're just pursuing a girl that you really care about. And if that's the case, then I would say that you need to really begin to think about the fact that they may have a very close-knit relationship. And it may play out, it may not. You take that risk in this. Maybe you get to know this particular young woman further, and maybe in time this relationship with the dad will work out in which he trusts you and he lets go of this control. But that could potentially happen. And maybe if you see it tightening more and more, that's your signal to run and to find somebody else. You're still in that courtship stage where maybe this is just not going to be one that you want to pursue because of how close this dad is to his daughter and how controlling he is. It is going to present a lot of problems in the future if that's how it's going to be. And it's not just a trust issue, it's more of a control issue. Yeah. Maybe let it play out for a little while, see how it goes, and then see what your decision is.
Yeah. I could also see maybe the introduction of an outside positive, godly influence being helpful here as well. So maybe another objective couple mm-hmm. in the church or whatever who could kind of take a look at the situation. Maybe they themselves are parents of adult children. They could kind of give some perspective. Because I'm a little concerned about her also being on board with her dad in this situation. So it's not really like she's going to present a united front with this guy. So somehow mm-hmm. they're already at odds. And so,
you know, this is a very traditional type of approach. Uh-huh. And one that isn't used now, but in some circles it is. Mm-hmm. Some rural areas or some place in the South, there's that courtship idea.
Yeah.
And there's also...
I don't know if we better say
there is. I mean, really in the South, there isn't. That's not necessarily bad. Mm-hmm. They're very formal and can be that way, and they really value the courtship idea. And for some people, it may not be even in their vocabulary to have courtship. And so this may just be a very traditional family where maybe the dad has experienced this when he was courting his wife. And I guess I would wonder how that worked out. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is something that's a tradition within the family. Traditions and family patterns, cultural things aren't necessarily good or right. So that's something you want to take a look at. So as he's pursuing this with her, I think over time you'll get to get a further feel as to the dysfunction. The part I'm concerned about is he's wanting even more, that he's wanting the absolute authority, the leadership, the whole deal. They really don't get to know each other in that. Yeah, the dad is. Mm-hmm. And, You know, they really won't get to know each other mm-hmm. in that way. Yeah. It'll just be the dad controlling all the communications.
Yeah, okay. Well, definitely a good opportunity for biblical counsel and wisdom and maybe input from a pastor, like we said, maybe definitely. A mentor couple or someone who can kind of shed some fresh light on that.
Well, they have dating counselors uh-huh. now.
Well, yeah.
Where you can go as
they
a
do.
Dating couple to go get get some counseling, see if you should continue in the relationship or not. So uh-huh. any of those three options are great.
That's good. Well, thanks so much, Danny, for weighing in on that one. I think it's helpful to have that perspective. As always, we want to hear from you here at Boundless. Write to us, editor@boundless.org, just to give your feedback on this. But if you're going through a similar situation, whether it's a relationship with a parent and you as an adult child, or whether it's a relationship situation, whether you're in a relationship and trying to figure out how to have those healthy boundaries and how to move towards independence and towards marriage, make sure you check out focusonthefamily.com, and you can search around there for resources or any articles or advice we may have. You can also call our main number, 1-800, the letter A and the word family, and receive some help or some resource ideas, or even speak to one of our counselors. I think that's a great way to get help on something like this. They're waiting to take your call. You may even hear from Danny. You may even get him.
Call me. That'd be great.
I don't think we should encourage people to specifically request you. That's probably
not call the line.
Yeah, call the line.
You may randomly get
him. May randomly get him, but you can't just, you know, form a little friendship with him, because then he'll have to answer a future inbox question related to that.
Unhealthy
boundaries with counselors that focus. Okay. Well, that is it for this week's show. We will see you all next week. I'm Lisa Anderson for The Boundless Show.
The Boundless Show is a production of Boundless.org. Focus on the family.